Hi, everyone, and welcome to our guest mentor call for the Gentle Business Mastermind. I'm going to be introducing our guest mentor, Jessica Tutton, to you very shortly. But firstly, we're just going to do a very brief settling in so that we can dive straight into the questions and make the most of the time that we have with Jessica. So before we do that, I invite you to just close your eyes if that feels good to you. And come into this moment by taking some deep breaths and perhaps focusing on your breath as you do so. Just breathing in nice and deep. And then letting it out. One more. Welcome, everyone. I'm so excited to introduce you to Jessica today. And we have got 50 minutes of time to dive into a really juicy topic of Facebook marketing in particular, but we'll also probably be expanding into other areas of Jessica's expertise, which is to do with funnels and really growing your list. And so for those of you who are joining us live right now, please feel free to type into the chat if you've got any questions, or you can raise your hand, or you can simply just wave at us and jump in and ask questions live. We'd really love that. And I've also got some that have been pre-submitted that we'll go through. So without further delay, I'd like to introduce you to our wonderful guest mentor, Jessica. It's probably fitting that I came across Jessica via one of her own Facebook ads, which shows that what she teaches works. And I really resonated with her funnel in terms of the way that she led me through into a private Facebook group that she had, and she was drip feeding out pre-content before her main launch. And it gave me a chance to get a feel for her presence and way of delivering this content. And I thought she'd just be such a wonderful mentor to have here in the Gentle Business Mastermind. And since then, our very own Terry has gone through and done her entire program. So Terry, I'm sure you've also got some questions and feedback to share.
Yeah, very happy to share my experience. It's been really positive. I've loved working with Jess. It's been great.
That's awesome. I loved seeing, I was saying to Jessica before we hopped in the right Zoom room, that I loved seeing all of the incredible groundwork that you put together in building out your funnel and really creating a wonderful experience for prospective clients to come through.
Well, thank you. No, it was a big learning process, but it was great to do the work. So thank you.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before, is that quite often people just want to dive straight into Facebook ads, but then it's the pre-work that really takes a lot of time, which is setting up all those funnel pieces. But yeah, as I said before, like one of the best things is like just learning that you only have to do the hard work once and then just getting as many people as possible to see it so that you can really take advantage of that initial work that you had to do up front.
And that's where the beauty of Facebook ads comes in, is that right?
Totally. Yeah, because then it's automated. And like I've got three kids, so I'm all about automation.
Very smart. Very smart. So I'll read your wonderful bio here. Jessica empowers entrepreneurs to break through barriers to their own success by encouraging them to think outside the box and work smarter, not harder, which is perfect for a gentle business, and to enable them to grow and scale their businesses. She partners with entrepreneurs one-to-one through workshops and online courses as their trusted mentor, to help them achieve success by learning, implementing, and executing marketing strategies and programs. So we really are very honored and excited to have you join us as a mentor on a live call today, Jessica, and grateful to learn some tips and strategies about what can often feel like an overwhelming and daunting topic, being Facebook ads. It is a topic that comes up again and again with members.
Thanks for inviting me on. I can talk about this topic all day.
Great. Well, perhaps we can kick off by sharing when it is that you think is worthwhile for a business owner to start exploring using Facebook ads in their business?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it's definitely not what you do when you just start a business. It's kind of like the icing on the cake when you feel like you've got the good foundations, like you know exactly who you're talking to, you've got that dream client profile, mm-hmm. and you know exactly what problems you're solving and what services you're offering as well. When you've got those foundations in play, then it's the perfect opportunity to use Facebook ads to put your content and your brand in front of more people. Mm-hmm. And really like go out there and find people instead of sort of holding back and waiting for people to find you, mm-hmm. which currently could be forever, considering that, you know, the organic reach with social media and email marketing and all those things is getting lower and lower. So Facebook ads just help you put yourself out there in front of the right people.
Sort of amplifies that work that you're already doing. Don't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Have you seen people jump in and start doing Facebook ads a little bit too early?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's when they don't know themselves and their business. Mm-hmm. And that's when they can, there's like not an alignment between, you know, potentially who they're targeting, their ad copy and their messaging, because they don't quite understand it yet. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that misalignment between the free content that they're delivering in Facebook ads compared to their paid courses, mm-hmm. or one-to-one services. Now, of course, like there's always a testing phase, which is normal. But yeah, I would definitely recommend that, you know, you have to be able to attract people organically. Like you want to have sold a course organically to people before you start using Facebook ads, because once you've sold one course or one person's joined your membership or whatever it is that you're selling, you've validated your offer. And then that's a good indication that it's time that you could start building your list and putting yourself out there more.
Mm. And it's nice to hear you talk about that, because and sort of normalize that process of figuring out what your business is and how to market it and what it is, what the copy should be and who you're targeting and what it is that you actually help them solve. Because it can, I think, be easy to feel like, oh, I've tried Facebook ads, it didn't work, I didn't make thousands of dollars, and so therefore there's something wrong with me. And in fact, it's just a process that basically every business has to go through. Is that what you see?
Yeah, and it's a long-term game. Like even if you look at the big players that are out there in online marketing, like the big names in the US and everything, if you hear their stories and you look at their past launches or, you know, the early stages of their business, they will all show you that in those early days they had those moments where things didn't go right for them, mm-hmm. or they didn't scale as quickly as they would have hoped to. But if they had have given up or stopped, you know, they would be not where they are today. So, yeah, it's definitely a long game that you've got to play.
I love that long game. We're in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what kind of – are there some mistakes that you see folks making with Facebook ads, particularly perhaps during a live launch?
Yeah, it's definitely the lack of strategy. Mm-hmm. And it's like you said, people chasing the quick wins. And I think people typically chase the quick wins when they have no idea of what they should be doing. Mm-hmm. They just want to like put Facebook ads out there and make sales. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily the case. You need to have a well thought out strategy so that you exactly know why you're investing money, where you're investing money, and how you're going to get that money back 10 mm-hmm. times.
Mm. And how do you find that sort of clarity?
Me. I think there's a lot of information out there about how you can find that clarity, but typically it's through your funnel, right? So that's why I'm known for Facebook ads, but one of the first things I teach people is how to create a funnel. Mm-hmm. And I think the term funnel is often like associated with that icky and yucky feeling of being sold to.
Yeah.
But I guess you guys know from being the gentle business mastermind, there is a gentle way of doing everything. Mm. And so a funnel is just a really nice process to onboard a brand new person into your business. So someone who doesn't yet know, like, and trust you, finally seeing you on Facebook ads, and then learning more about you through your lead magnet and your email sequence before you sell to them. Does that make
sense? Yeah, it makes lots of sense. Perhaps for people that might be still in the early stages, what sort of things could they be looking at would be a lead magnet?
So this is something I love to talk about in my course, because I think when people think to create a lead magnet, they're like thinking a 30-page ebook or something big. They just want to put all of their content into this lead magnet. But a lead magnet is just a simple document that provides your audience with a really quick win. Mm. And you've got to remember that your audience doesn't yet know, like, and trust you. They don't want to learn everything from you at this stage. Mm-hmm. But if you give them a 1 to 3 page document that really makes them, you know, have like a little breakthrough or learn something new very quickly, they're instantly going to have a great, like, first impression of you and your brand, and then be more likely to want to open your emails and learn more about you.
And those emails, is that what you're describing as a funnel? I love that, by the way, the 1 page to 3 page document and differentiating it from being a huge, full blown, quite overwhelming process to create, say a 30 page document straight out of the gate. And also because, but the way you frame that and show that that's actually beneficial for the customer, that they can then get a taste. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just a guide. Like, some people will, create documents that are bigger. Like, there's never any hard and fast rules. Do you know what I mean? And I guess that's probably what you teach. Like, you can always take strategies online and make them your own. I guess the biggest message to take away is that you want to give your audience a quick win and make sure they're not overwhelmed. And then in terms of email sequence, so an email sequence is something, again, that's automated, that goes out to your audience after they've signed up for your lead magnet. And your email sequence typically goes for like a 7 to 14 or maybe even 30-day period. Mm-hmm. And it's just a sequence of automated emails that continue to build the relationship with your new leads, continuing to educate them, inspire them, and introduce you to them.
I love it. Mandy says in the comments, it's always where our mind goes though, isn't it? That I need to give more.
Yes.
And simplifying can be where the art comes into it, doesn't it? Really simplifying your message to begin with.
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing I would say is, like, your lead magnet. So you typically want one lead magnet to promote one service. So if you think about what it is that you want to sell first, and then work backwards from that particular package to then create your lead magnet. So if you've got like 3 or 4 different services, you probably need 3 or 4 different lead magnets in order to really attract the right person and lead them into that particular service.
Mm-hmm. We've got some questions that I've touched on a little bit already from Eleanor in the chat of the Facebook group. And she says, as someone who's very early on in my business and still experimenting with my products and services, I'm not looking to do them in the near future, but my questions are, when should I start? Which we sort of covered it to begin with. And then what to focus on when starting out. So are there sort of some steps that Eleanor could be looking to implement when the time comes?
Yeah, so when she's really clear on her suite of services and she knows what she wants to scale, because that's the other thing, you want to sort of create a funnel on a product or service that is scalable, because your purpose of Facebook ads is to get more people through your funnel, right? So if you have coaching packages, but they're very limited in the number of people that can work with you and you're kind of fully booked anyway, then there would be no point in creating a funnel for that service and attracting more people in. Mm-hmm. So you want to wait until you have a product or service that is scalable that you want to grow. And then it would be about using Facebook ads to promote that lead magnet that ties in nicely with your service. there's plenty of things you can do in the meantime, though, like even if you're not ready to advertise. And I would say the first thing would be getting your Facebook pixel on your website so that you can start gathering data now before the time comes for you to advertise, so that when you do start advertising, you have something to work with.
So what is this incredible thing called a Facebook pixel?
Magic one. It's how Facebook can spy on you. No. So a pixel is like a small piece of code that sits on the back end of your website, and it allows Facebook to read the data and capture data, which can allow you to do a few things. Firstly, it can allow you to create audiences based on people who visit your website. And then it can also help you with reporting when it comes to running Facebook ads. So, and that kind of helps you to then be able to read results. So Terry would know that, like, when you're promoting your lead magnet, for example, with Facebook ads, we're not measuring things like how many people we've reached or how many clicks we've had. We're actually measuring how many people have opted into our funnel, so we can read that data. And you can't do that unless your pixel is on your website.
Mm-hmm. It sounds so rude, doesn't it, putting a pixel on your website? But it's true, you do need it.
The other thing you can do, like if you're capturing data of people who've been on your website, is create lookalike audiences. So that's when Facebook will look at the people who've been on your website and then find people who are similar. So instead of using Facebook ads to target random interests and demographics, instantly Facebook will be able to look at your unique audience and then put your ads in front of people who are, you know, closely aligned to that group of people.
I love it. And so the tip that you were giving Eleanor is to try and put that pixel on code into her website as soon as possible, because the longer that you have it on there, the more data that you can draw from in targeting those audiences and creating the audiences. Is that what
you're saying? Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. I love it. And Terry's put a comment in for us. She said, yes, my first lead magnet, magnets were mega. My first one was 94 pages. I'm now looking to repackage and sell this in another way rather than give it away for free. My current lead magnet developed in Jess's program is way shorter and just a few pages. And it's beautiful. And it's so honed in on your message, Terry, isn't it? It's amazing the work that you've done with Jess to do that.
Yeah, it was great. And even when I went through that process, the first thing I developed was like 30 pages. Like, you know, some of us just want to put everything out there, like Jess is saying. Like, it's like trying to provide value, but it's just learning that, as you were saying, just the first thing you want to do is just give people a little taste, not overwhelm them, just give them something they can, like mine's 10 tips for creating deeper meaning and purpose. And I just encourage people to choose one or two of those and just put, and I've had really great feedback from that, and it's easy to market. So yeah, but, and then that ability to take that bigger thing and repurpose it, which is my theme for this year, is trying to consolidate rather than create new things all the time. So. No, yeah.
And the benefit of then people paying for something that's a lot larger is that I think once you pay for something, you're committed to do the work a little bit more. So you're then willing to go through a bigger document. The other thing that I would say is, like, if you're inclined to want to give more in a lead magnet, you can take content out of your lead magnet and put it in your email sequence. So at least it's delivered to your audience over a longer period of time and in like bite-sized chunks.
That's a ninja tactic. I love it. Amanda said, I love what you touched on about focusing on ads to lead magnets rather than a paid program. Is there a specific reason for this?
Yeah, so it's typically because we're not really willing to buy things from people that we don't know, especially online these days. You know, like I saw an ad trying to sell me something the other day, and I was just like, who are you, my newsfeed? You know, like, we have to focus on building relationships before we sell to them. So typically I teach like a three-part process to launching. So phase one, or part one, is the list building phase. So using Facebook ads to promote your lead magnet. And then phase two, I recommend hosting a launch event. So that launch event could be a webinar, or it could be a free challenge or something like that. And that is to like expand on that nurture experience and really lead people into you opening the doors to your course. So making it like a virtual event as opposed to just straight off the bat selling.
Mm. And by having them come through to your lead magnet, then you've gathered their email data and you can continue to stay in communication with them.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Yeah.
Now let's talk a little bit about the juicy topic of budgets.
Yeah.
So this is like how long is a piece of string, I imagine. Yeah. But how much do folks need to realistically spend to reach their launch goals?
It depends on what you've got to work with and what you already know about your funnel. Mm-hmm. And how well it converts. Mm-hmm. If you are using Facebook ads for the first time to launch a course or to do anything, it's all about experimenting, reading data, finding out what your conversion rates are in order to be able to have more predictable results in the future. So initially, when you're advertising for the first time, I always recommend starting with a budget that just feels right for you, that doesn't stretch you or put you in a place of like, I've got to make my money back, otherwise, you know, I'll feel, do you know what I mean? Because then if you put your budget too high and you are feeling stressed, then that stress comes out in your energy and you typically change the way you sell and people aren't attracted to that energy. Do you know what I mean? Mm. You have to be able to show up in your launch with like high vibes. And in order to have that, you can't be stressed out. So in terms of budget, I would say if you're promoting a lead magnet, you can start with like $5 or $10 a day and just have that running every single day. And then with a launch to promote like a webinar or a challenge, you might want to increase that budget to like $500 to promote a webinar. And that's probably a good place to start.
That's great. That's really helpful to actually put some dollar figures on those two different strategies.
Yeah.
I think, so people can see that it doesn't have to be inaccessible to still get results.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. And I do like the idea of just like playing around with $5 a day on a lead magnet. Do you know what I mean? Because then that gets your confidence and experience up in creating and managing ads and reading results before it comes to spending large sums of money.
And have you experimented with the strategy of having people come through and they'll get the lead magnet and then you'll have like a tripwire or it's such a terrible term, isn't it? But an upsell for like an $18 ebook or $11 little short course or something that helps to cover the Facebook ad spend?
Yeah, so that's definitely something that I teach in my course, is selling a tripwire product on the thank you page. And there's two reasons why we do that. The first is to make your money back on your ad spend. So if you're spending $5 a day on Facebook ads and you get, let's say, 10 leads and then two people purchase your Tripwire product, then the sales from that Tripwire will pay for your Facebook ads. So then you can slowly start to scale things up, you know, spend more on Facebook ads, make more sales. Do you know what I mean? There's less risk. The other benefit to that, and if we focus on the client experience as opposed to us just want to make more money, we always know that with our paid products, people are going to get greater transformations. And therefore, if someone buys our lead magnet, they're going to be able to build that relationship faster with us and therefore be more inclined to want to work with us again in the future.
Mm.
So, yeah. There's the benefit of being able to pay for your Facebook ads, but then obviously the client gets more of a transformation as well because they're, I don't know, getting better content.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, and they are invested in it, aren't they? They
sort of have
to get their value for money and put the time aside to go through it all. So when it comes to creating that sort of funnel, have you found that it needs this is what I was going to ask, is have you seen fluctuations throughout different times of the year regarding, you know, holidays, different Black Friday sale, for example, things like that, that might change your ad spend or change the cost of your ads while they're running?
Yeah. And even, definitely Black Friday sales, because that's when everyone's advertising, and then it's more competitive and you need to spend more in order to reach the same number of people. Mm. But in terms of like when you should be advertising and when people are most likely to buy, I kind of feel like we can overthink things sometimes. Mm-hmm. And when people buy has nothing to do with us, and it's all to do with them and where they're at. Like, you might have someone on their bloody honeymoon sitting by the pool thinking, I want to learn something now, and they could go and buy your course. Or it could be Christmas Eve and they're at home by themselves bored and they might want to buy a course. Like, you never really know when someone's going to be in a position to want to buy something from you. And so that's why I recommend, like, ads can just keep going.
Pick away. Yeah. Mm. And that's where I suppose you would be teaching people how to monitor those ads so that they're keeping an eye on which ones are converting, or if you need to perhaps switch some off that are costing too much for the results that you want and things like that. How do you let's talk a little bit about monitoring Facebook ads, I suppose, and what that looks like.
Yeah, definitely. So it all depends on what sort of campaign you're running and what your goals are. So typically when it comes to a cost per lead, which is what we track when we're promoting our lead magnet, I normally say like a cost per lead under $2 is good. And that seems to be like the perfect benchmark for people. But obviously it depends on your niche, right? I have a lot of clients in the parenting niche and they can get leads for 30 cents and I'm very jealous. but then you've got like the business niche where it's more competitive, and your cost per lead might be around $2 to $3. So the first thing that you want to track is your cost per lead and just keep an eye on how that's performing week after week after week. If you can see that it's starting to increase, then it could mean that you've exhausted the audience that you're targeting and it would be a matter of creating a new audience. The other thing that you want to do is split test everything, right? So when it comes to Facebook ads, you can split test audiences. So basically putting the same ads in front of different target audiences to see which ones are performing better. And then over time, again, you would be able to track your cost per lead per audience, switch off the ones that aren't performing well, and keep running the ones that are producing, you know, consistent results.
Do you want to jump in, Terry, and read that one aloud?
Yeah, just when you were talking about timing for launches, because I know, like, I launched in January, and I can remember talking to Nicola and saying, wow, it's a terrible time to launch. And then this time at the end of the year, I've been saying, wow, it's a terrible time to launch. So I think the whole year it's been a really, in one way, a bad time to launch. But if we just keep our mindset focused on moving ahead and doing what we can and reviewing and building and just see launching as just part of our whole business, it's not, you know, it's not just a one-off thing you do. It's part of the cycle that... And I guess my, you know, having been through it was actually my third launch when I connected with Jess. So I had like my warm launch where I had no trouble getting 10 people. Last time, beginning of the year, I thought, oh, that was an icky time. Maybe it was that. So I thought I need to be more systematic, which is why I connected with Jess and Facebook ads. But now I know that I've got those skills to keep building over time. And I think that's a really nice, that's shifted my mindset to look at it that way. So that I know I've got the skills to be able to do that. And also, like, even launch things, evergreen things.
It's always about testing and measuring everything. But, yeah, like you said, like, this year has been so up and down. I mean, everybody knows. I don't think we've had a year like it. Like, it started with the bushfires and then it's like it's kind of uncomfortable being in online business. Do you know what I mean? Like, when all these big social things come up, people get torn down for advertising or selling in these periods. And it's really like unfair because this is our business. Do you know what I mean? This is how we, you know, live and survive. And yeah, I feel like sometimes there's social pressure to not launch during certain periods. But it's often, I think it's quite unfair.
It's really tricky to navigate, isn't it? And yeah, I suppose people are still going to work, but it's a different situation when you have an online business.
Yeah. And the results that we're seeing this year, like for a lot of my clients, aren't any different to previous years in terms of online courses. If anything, I think that people are being more open to online learning, which is awesome.
I've seen that in a few different spaces, people saying that this year has actually been one of their best, or it has been their best year in terms of revenue. So what would you say is the most important ad that folks could be using 24/7?
It's definitely that list building ad to promote your lead magnet. I feel like building your email list is your best asset, right? When it comes to marketing. And yeah, if you can have that ad running and just trickling in the background of your business, that's probably the best thing you could do.
And it's interesting, isn't it, by doing that, because you can put, you feel like you'll be spreading your brand to people that may not buys from you straight away, but they could become alliances for you or collaborators with you, or they want to promote your work, such as, for example, you're here now because of an ad, you know, and it expands your own reach and platform if you continue to have that lead magnet running.
Yeah, definitely. So the lead magnet ad, you know, it does a lot of things. It does build your list, but it also like generates, like you said, like a broader brand awareness. Mm-hmm. And it increases your social presence as well. It does all those things while building your list. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you never know who is signing up for your email list. You never know who's reading your emails. And sometimes it feels like you're talking to no one. Mm-hmm. And it's not until you get these opportunities or you get a new client booking your services and you go back to see where they first found you. Mm-hmm. And it's normally like from an ad, and it's like, oh, wow. Yeah, that was worth it.
And when you are setting up that lead magnet ad, you touched on it already, but I just think it's a worthwhile topic to explore a little bit more, and that's testing the different variables of that ad so that you can get the best conversion rate that you can, best cost per conversion. And so what are some of those variables that you can do?
Yeah, so firstly, you know, it's good to know your ideal client and where they hang out online. So, for example, you can split test things like the placement of your ad. So if you're putting your ad in the newsfeed or if you're putting your ads on Instagram stories, that's one of the biggest things I like to split test, especially for those businesses that or those brands that spend a lot of time in stories. I feel like at the moment, you know, Instagram stories are becoming huge. So split testing ads on Instagram stories versus feeds, as well as split testing target audiences. And then within those ad sets, which is where you do the split testing of audiences and placements, you also want to split test your creative. So I typically recommend split testing at least 3 images and 3 versions of copy.
And would you have different, would you do 3 versions of copy per 3 versions of image? So you've got 9, would it be 9?
Yeah.
That's right. variations, maybe that's not quite right.
Yes and no. So it depends on your budget. So when we create ads, we're creating conversion campaigns and we're optimizing it for conversions. But Facebook needs at least 50 conversions in order to be able to optimize the campaign. So if you're split testing a hell of a lot of different things on a $5 a day budget, you're never going to get enough data per ad if you're running 9 ads in order for Facebook to actually do their thing. So typically it depends on the budget. If you've got a low budget, like $5 a day, I would recommend just 3 ads to split test. And I normally go ad 1, you know, image 1, copy 1. The next one is image 2, copy 2. And then you sort of see what works from there. And then if you have like a best performing ad, then you could turn the ones that aren't performing off and then do some more split testing.
And refine that one further.
Yeah.
Smart.
And
what would you define, how do you define a cold, warm and hot audience?
Yes. So a cold audience are just people who've never seen you before. They don't know you. They don't like you. They don't trust you. They just don't know you, right? And so a warm audience are then people who know, like, and trust you. So they might be your website traffic, your Instagram engagement, your Facebook engagement, or your email list. And then a hot audience are people who are, like, ready to buy from you. So they might have attended your live webinar. They might have visited your sales page or gone to the checkout of your sales page and not purchased from you. So they're the people that are, like, right on the fence, ready to buy from you, but just haven't made that decision yet.
Mm. And I suppose you would be targeting, you could target different ads for those different audiences to help them along that journey. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. So your cold audience, you just want to put your free content in front of a cold audience. You don't want to get them to pay. With your warm audiences, that's when you would use retargeting to put your course or your paid services in front of those audiences. And then you can go one step further and retarget those hot audiences as well. So retargeting people that, you know, hit your sales page but didn't purchase from you, and things like that.
And that's where that Facebook pixel comes in.
Yes.
So you can do that. It's great. Awesome. And can folks attract and convert cold audiences during a live launch? So people that have never heard of them before, is it possible to sell to those people while they're...
Yeah, definitely. I actually think it totally depends on what you're selling, firstly. But my model, and I think it's just might be my personality or whatever, but I typically just attract a cold audience during a launch and convert them on a live webinar. But I do, you know, in that launch period, provide a lot of opportunities for them to get to know me and my style. So yes, from a launch, but they do need that opportunity to get to know you through a webinar or pre-trainings and things like that.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And I suppose Terry is proof of that.
Yeah.
Yes. How long is your launch and open cart for? Amanda is asking.
So I normally start advertising or promoting my launch event, so my webinar, 7 to 10 days before it starts. And then the doors to my course will open on the webinar day, and then the course will be open for 7 days.
Mm.
So the actual promotion period is only 7 days of the course itself, but then you have the lead up time. So it, in total, it's like 14 days.
That's very doable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I just do it 4 times a year and I'm done.
Wow. And I suppose you've got systems in place that you can follow, and it's like roll out, rinse, repeat sort of thing.
Yeah. Like I said, do the hard work once. So every launch is just refining the content that you've already created. And Terry will know, like, your first launch, you feel like you're just creating content after content, because you know, your doors to your course are only open for 7 days, and there's a lot of touch points that need to happen in those 7 days. So it's writing a lot of emails within those 7 days. It's creating the content for the webinar, and all these things take time and energy, and it can feel like a lot of work. But then, you know, launches that happen after that first launch become easier, because then you're just looking at what worked last time and maybe making a few tweaks.
Mm. And optimizing what you've already created.
Perhaps. Yeah.
Maybe doing some more split testing with your ads and things like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any tips in terms of the creative design of the ads? So what helps to get clicks and conversions do you find?
Yeah, it depends on who you're targeting. So if you're targeting a cold audience, typically it's the images that just have overlay text, so like a graphic created in Canva. Normally for warm audiences, it's photos of you that just look like organic posts that convert really well. So it's, again, knowing who you're targeting and then creating graphics depending on who it is that's going to see the ad.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And you have to be careful a little bit not to have too much text on there, or else it won't be approved.
That rule's kind of changed recently.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think they're moving away from that rule, which is handy.
Yeah, great.
But don't hold me to that because, you know, Facebook, they change their mind every day.
Totally. Terry's got a great question. She said, once you have created the content for your launch, do you need to change the webinar topic or keep it the same for the next launch?
Yeah. So it depends how the webinar converted. Mm-hmm. So it's looking at your numbers. What was your cost per lead? Your cost per lead for the webinar will tell you if the webinar was, you know, enticing enough to want to sign up for. And then looking at how the webinar converted. So how many people attended your webinar live, how many people watched the replay, and how many people converted after watching the live or the replay. Depending on those conversion rates and numbers, will determine what you need to tweak. So if you found that your cost per lead was really high for the webinar, but then those that did attend loved the content and ended up buying from you, you might not need to change the webinar presentation. It could be just a matter of tweaking the title.
Mm. And that might help bring down the cost of acquisition. Right. And is it possible to give some kind of ballpark figures, or is it completely individual? Obviously, people have different priced offerings and things, so what is going to be profitable for them is going to vary depending on that. But have you got some kind of perhaps percentages that we could explore
for a launch?
So what would be people be looking at to be a successful conversion percentage for a sales, like visits to a sales page, for example, and then sales after those, the number of visits?
Yeah, so what I like to look for with a client, or even with clients when I'm setting their budget, it's kind of like we're aiming for a 4 or 5 times return on investment.
Mm.
So you spend $5,000, make $20,000, spend $10,000, make, you know, $100,000. And that typically works, but, you know, it's starting with that small budget initially, and then waiting until you hit that 4 or 5 times ROI. And once you hit that 4 or 5 times ROI on your ad spend, then you know, okay, this funnel converts, I can start increasing my budget.
It's actually all quite logical, isn't it, when you say it like that?
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes we, as women, I think we can get too emotionally attached to our launches and how everything performs. So it's good to kind of like go back to the numbers. To take the emotion out of it and just look at, you know, what worked, what didn't work, what can we change, what can we do moving forward?
Mm. Always iterating. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how would you suggest folks get started with Facebook ads? I can imagine that you've got lots of things to offer them yourself. So that would be probably what you do.
Yeah. Okay, if you're just getting started, I would definitely recommend learning how to do it yourself in those early. I think that's a big question that I get a lot, is like, especially for people that aren't interested to learn how to DIY, they're like, can't I just outsource this? Mm. and I think the benefit of learning how to do it yourself in the early stages is so that you get an understanding of the strategy and what's involved during the early stages of tweaking your funnel and sort of like testing your funnel, because otherwise you're spending a lot of money on an agency or a freelancer, and you potentially won't see the ROI. It will become very expensive. Mm. So definitely learning how to do it yourself, and you can check out my website or my podcast, which has all the tips on how you can get started.
Mm. How do we find your website and your podcast? I'll link to it as well, but in case people are listening in their earphones and they're walking along going, oh, I'd like to do that now.
Yeah, so it's jessicatutton.com.au, and my podcast is called Ready, Set, Launch with Jessica Tutton.
Ready, Set, Launch, that's a great title.
Yes.
For a podcast. Perfect. And are there any other points that you'd like to share that come to mind?
Oh, there's so many. I would say don't be scared. Mm. A lot of people just get scared to even get started with Facebook ads and they put it off for so long. But I think, yeah, don't be afraid to get started.
I love that.
It'd be my best tip for everybody.
Mm. And Terry and Mandy, have you got any other questions for Jessica before we riff a little bit and wrap up for today? Put you in the hot seats, haven't I?
I did know, I was on your website a few weeks ago, I think. It was around then anyway, perhaps you were about to launch or heading into a launch, and it looked like you could select from a number of different webinar times. It was something like that. Is that something that you do? Is that something you just have been playing with lately, or were they like recorded things, or you just had a bunch of live webinars going in kind of that pre-launch phase?
Yeah, so I did two webinars for my last launch, two live webinars, just to sort of experiment with the times of the days, like you said, and just giving people a second option.
Hmm.
I think when you can get someone on a live webinar, it's such a different experience. Like, they can get your energy, ask questions, engage. Hmm. And so when you're doing a webinar, your goal is to get as many people on live with you as possible. So adding in, you know, a few options for them to choose from in terms of dates and times always just helps with that.
And then do you have like a really solid push at the end to encourage them to go and purchase at the end there, or are you pretty like, it's open, the end?
No, you definitely have to do a sales pitch.
Okay.
It's probably the most uncomfortable thing to ever learn. And I've followed Amy Porterfield. Do you guys know Amy Porterfield? And so initially I just followed her webinar structure slide by slide by slide, but it felt so uncomfortable. So I think it's about first learning someone else's sales strategy and testing it yourself. There are so many different ones out there. And then learning how to make it your own so you feel comfortable transitioning to the sell. But you definitely, I think it's a mindset thing as well. Like, people who have watched a webinar, they obviously want your help more. And so you have to give them all the details in order for them to make a decision to want to work with you or not. So yeah, you've definitely got to do a sales pitch.
Thank you.
Such great questions.
So it might be nice just to talk a little in closing about the mindset aspects of launching, because I know having just gone through it, it was so roller coaster. And part of it was just reminding myself that I was learning skills for the long haul, as we talked about earlier. But then also trying to, with my mindset, not be stitched to, you know, look at the numbers, but try and keep that distance and not define my success by those numbers. So
yeah,
I think that's something I really had to work on. But I'd be interested in your comments just around mindset issues.
Yeah, the first launch, I think because you're putting yourself out there, and putting yourself out there for the first time doing anything new is always really hard. Like, I remember the first time I created my Facebook page and I was going to do my post, I was like, what if this person sees this? You know, like, it's uncomfortable. And launching is like 10 times next level. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Because you're really putting yourself out there. And I think you've got to learn to detach from the outcome and take the emotion away out of it again, which is easier said than done. But you're going to go through this experience. You're going to learn a lot. Detach from what the specific outcome will be, but don't hide from the numbers.
Mm. Yeah.
Because the numbers are going to help you continue to improve. So like you said, you've got to look at the numbers, but at the same time, the numbers might be feeling uncomfortable. So it's like, detach from the outcome.
Yeah. And the unsubscribes are probably the worst part of it, when you're really, again, putting yourself out through emails, which we know becomes really important.
Yeah.
But then watching all those people who you've sort of you know, help to build your list suddenly disappearing. It's like, oh, you know, it's
I know.
That was probably the hardest for me in the recent round.
You get to a point where you're like, yay, people have unsubscribed, which is what I do, because email marketing becomes very expensive.
Yeah, exactly. True. Good point.
So, yeah, you don't take it personally, because some people unsubscribe and then come back or unsubscribe, but then still want to buy from you. They just don't want to flood their inbox. Do you know what I mean? So I think you've got to take away the stories associated with the unsubscribes.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean what you think it means.
Mm. That's like gold right there, Jessica. Yeah.
And also follow Denise Duffield Thomas is so amazing. And she provides tips like that all the time around unsubscribes and, yeah, just the stories that we kind of tell ourselves about that kind of stuff.
It's so true. And as you were talking about the webinar and transitioning into that selling phase at the end of the webinar, it made me reflect on my experience of attending Terry's webinar when she was launching. And I loved Terry's webinar. It was so good. And I really appreciated at the end the way that she did sell by explaining, here's, you know, the next step and here's what you're going to get if you sign up now. You're going to get this bonus. And it's also, you were so clear, Terry, in helping people understand, take all the fear out of the unknown of what happens when they click this button. This is what's going to happen. And that process. And I imagine, I put myself into your shoes, because I've never run a live webinar, and I was fascinated to see how beautifully you did it in a niche that is not all about business as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about personal development. And you were able to do it in such a way that as a viewer, I felt totally taken care of. The way that you did it, I didn't feel sold to. I just felt like, oh, here's this amazing opportunity, and I was seriously considering signing up. And I'm a guest expert on them, you know. But I was like, oh, this is fantastic. Maybe that's what I want. Like, I need some help for the next few weeks to bring this thing to life. And if we can flip that switch in our mind too, that when we're selling, it can be a real we're providing a beautiful, concierge service to our customers if we. Put that time and detail into the closing of it. It doesn't have to be sleazy.
Yeah. And I guess that mindset shift between, you know, being uncomfortable selling and feeling like you're helping people, that only comes with experience. That's the only thing that can help you change your mindset around sales. And so I think a lot of people just put it off because they're kind of waiting until they're at a certain point where it won't feel as awkward, but it's always going to feel like that the first time, and maybe even the second time. You've just got to do it.
Mm. So juicy.
I'm always pushing my ladies on a Terry. I'm like, just do it.
Yeah. And there's a great community, just like our community here, just has a great, Facebook community, and it's everyone, our group helps a lot, which I found that really valuable too. It's
It's good to know you're not alone with all the ups and downs of launching.
It's good, and everyone chips in and answers, you know, provides their experience, and that's really helpful.
That's great.
And it's great to see what everybody else is doing too, you know, people share their lead magnets, share their you know, what they're testing, and you know, it's everything you see is an opportunity to learn, just even though people are in really different niches to me. I quite like that too, because there are a lot of parenting and there's a mix of people, but I guess just being able to see how different, the tools are the same, but just seeing how they play out in different industries is interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it's a beautiful community that you've built, Jessica, with your energy. I'm sure it's very authentic and aligned with, the type of folks that we've got here in the mastermind. So what is the name of the program that is your DIY Facebook ads program?
Yeah, it's called Facebook Ad Launch Formula. So it takes people through that process of building out those funnels, at least building funnel and the launch funnel. And then, you know, using Facebook ads to drive people through those funnels. And it's open again soon. I haven't decided the date, but probably around November or December. So I open it like 3 or 4 times a year.
Love it. Sounds great. And in the meantime, people can come and listen to your podcast and check out your blog and find some more free resources and get prepared if they wanted to join in. So I wanted to thank you so much, Jess. Is there anything else that you'd like to say or share before we wrap up today?
No, just thanks for having me. It's lovely to see what you've got going on here.
Yeah, pleasure. It's been a real delight to get to talk with you, and I hope that we have you know, our paths continue to cross, because it was really lovely to get to hear your wisdom. And thank you so much for being so generous with sharing your expertise with our members and carving out time from your schedule as a mum over there in WA.
Okay, thank you.
So thank you, general business folks. I hope you enjoyed listening to Jess's answers as much as we did. And we look forward to hearing what comes out of this call for you over the coming weeks ahead. And if you've got any questions, please pop them in our Facebook group. And thank you all so much for being here. I hope that you, Terry and Amanda, have a wonderful rest of your day. And yeah, we'll connect again soon. Take care, everyone.
Thanks. See ya.
Thanks. Bye. Have I stopped recording?
No, it's still recording.